Blog Talk Radio.
Unbothered. Impermeable. Unbothered. Impermeable. Unbothered. I'm the people's champ. Obama, and you don't understand. Melania. Permeable. Unbothered. Sick. Allergic to the con artist. Fake woke. An imposter. Only real ones up in my roster. Like Junior C. That's my
All right, everybody. Happy. Hold on one second. All right. There we go with the technical difficulties. Happy Tuesday, everybody. It looks like it's just me for right now. I'm guessing that everybody else will be coming on soon. And all right, well, we can get into it. I hope everybody's having a great day. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to play the first song. Because I want everybody that's getting on. Actually, I'm not sure if my sister's getting on because she got married over the weekend. Woo-hoo! Got married over the weekend, and she is on her honeymoon. So let's see if she's going to be getting on. I know my dad might be a little bit late. So let's play the first song, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Oh, there he goes. All right. You don't got to play the song. Hey, Dad, I was about to play a song. Give you a couple of minutes to get on.
Oh, no doubt. Go ahead and play the song. I'm here.
No, I was going to play the song to give you a couple of minutes. I don't have to play the song anymore.
Oh, okay. All right.
Now
all right.
We can get right into the getting.
Yeah, no doubt. We can get down.
Oh, no. What's going to come next?
Oh, in order to get down, you got to get in deep.
Oh, man, I was just telling everybody that it probably is just going to be me and you today because your lovely daughter got married over the weekend, so she's on her honeymoon, so she will be back join with us next week.
Well, you know, I texted yesterday. She said that she'd be coming back today, so she'd probably get on. So she might just get on after all.
Oh, so she probably just is having too much fun traveling back. I know how
that
is.
Oh, yeah. That it be that way sometimes.
I know. Oh, man. Well, today is going to be an interesting topic, only because it seems like people that never cared about politics before, we all care now. We all care about what's going on. We all care about the opinions of other people and how it's going. And, you know, I've been noticing some things, and I didn't realize how much illusion was going on around me until I started doing my research. So, you know, so we're going to get into that. Basically, this week's lesson is called Politics, and it's the Brute Wolf and the Sly Fox. Do you mind giving a little bit of, because, you know, I don't think it's the first time I heard it, but the first time in my adult life that I really absorbed it and really understood what it was when you talked about it in that fantastic conversation with the gentleman named Jared Taylor after the viewing of Race War. So if you don't mind, could you give a little bit of background of the Brute Wolf and the Sly Fox with this relation to politics?
You know, it's just very interesting because the conversation that I've had is, for me, has to be very clear for all of us. And let me just start with the point that I think is most important that I'd like to make. And that is that Malcolm X once said that he had, going back into the 60s now, you got to go back to a time when it was, the Republican nominee was Barry Goldwater, or he was the one that was coming up, Barry Goldwater, arch Republican, from Arizona, and it was Lyndon Johnson, President Lyndon Johnson, who had become president after President John F. Kennedy was assassinated. And what Malcolm said was that we as a people of African descent have to understand something very important, and that is that Democrats are sly foxes and Republicans are brute wolves.
Mm-hmm.
But they both belong to the dog family.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
The idea that Malcolm was telling us, and the other piece that's very important is for us to analyze Malcolm's speech, one of the most important speeches he gave. He gave two speeches, and both of them were two speeches I covered in your brother, my son, Heru, and I did that piece on Chicken Come Home on Malcolm X. We highlighted two speeches that he gave the last year of his life. One was Message to the Grassroots, and the other was The Ballot or the Bullet. And so the point that I was making and the point that I try to make to our community is to understand politics and what it is. It is very different as it relates to the original world, to the African world, compared to what it is once the Greeks inherited it from the Africans. The Romans then got it from the Greeks. The Greeks didn't get it right, and the Romans got it twice wrong. My point is, we have to vote. We have to understand the role of voting as a strategy. If you out here looking for someone who's going to like you, and you're going to vote for them because they like you, forget it.
Exactly.
It's not about that. It's a strategy. It is part of an arsenal that you go into battle with. And one of the fundamental things that makes me realize how important it is how hard they're trying to take it from us, the vote. And so the other thing that I wanted to talk about, which I felt was important, was the economic piece, which is to understand the difference as it relates to politics and economics. This is something I taught my children in school. I've mentioned it even to you and to Kandike and to Heru. You have to understand the difference between politics and economics. Politically, and I used to do a box with four squares inside the box. And there's other ways you can break this down, but this is how I think most of us understand these terms. In politics, you have what's called communism, and you have democracy, so to speak.
Yeah.
In economics, you have capitalism and socialism. Russia never understood socialism. America never understood capitalism. Because we confuse things. We talk about communism versus capitalism. You can't do that. That's mixing apples and oranges. Communism goes with democracy, and capitalism goes with socialism. So that when you're arguing these points and they're talking about a democratic socialism, they don't understand what they're talking about. When you hear all these people out here talking about America's going socialist, America is already socialist. America is socialist for all the rich people. Russia isn't socialist. Russia is America. Russia has a group of rich people called the oligarchs who receive all the money. If this were socialism, everybody would be receiving the greatness of the country. Whatever wealth the country had, everybody would share in it.
You're saying if it was socialism?
If it were socialism, if it were true socialism, everybody in Russia would receive. Of course, capitalism gives the concept of competition. But this is all a facade.
It's all an illusion. Yeah.
That's what it is. Because it's not true. There is no competition. The one thing that we have to realize is that the people at the top, the CEOs of the corporations, they're not making America great. It's the people that work for them that make them great.
But that's
when you
that's
look at the
illusion.
Banking system. I'll follow you. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that's the illusion of the American dream. The American dream is that you come here and you work hard and you can end up like being very successful. But the actual American dream is that's the American. It's a lie. And they make you believe it so that you work for them. That's the actual American dream. Because they know that you can come here, but you'll never be part of the 1%, and you'll never be part of the wealthy. But you will work for them and run their company. That's the actual American dream.
And every day, the great majority of people make hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, for the people on the top.
Exactly.
And they throw this flag in front of us. You know, when I was growing up, as a young man, there was what was called the Red Scare, which dealt with China and Russia. China and Russia were our allies during World War II. After World War II, Russia and China became our most formidable enemies. For those that may be listening and can go back that far into the 50s and 60s, I remember going to Catholic school, Roman Catholic school. And I remember every 12 noon, sirens would blare in the streets.
Ooh. Wow.
And that was like the warning that every day we had to be prepared for communism from Russia or China to invade, for us to always be aware. Every day at 12 noon. And every day at 12 noon, Sasha, as a Catholic, we used to cross ourselves and say a prayer to God that we would not be attacked by Russia or China. I'm telling you what I lived. And those that go back that far, you know what I'm talking about. You may go in the streets now and you'll see signs. They're yellow signs with black. It says fallout shelter. Periodically during the...
Pay attention.
Probably not, because they don't really apply today. When I was growing up, periodically during the year, they would blare those sirens, and everybody had to get off the streets. And if the police were in the street and they found you in the street, they would immediately, not arrest you, but they would take you into custody and bring you to the nearest fallout shelter, because that was in preparation in case communist Russia or China declared war on America.
Wow.
That's how I grew up in New York City. And anyone that goes back and is of age to remember or who have done research on this, you know I'm telling you the truth. So you have to understand how shocking it is for me to be watching what's happening with Russia today.
Oh, wow, wow. That's where it was going. Wow, I didn't even think about that. Wow.
You see, so this is all an illusion, and all of this is to keep the masses of people scared.
That's what everything
keep everybody.
Is. Even with being on code orange all the time when it comes to terrorism, was to keep people scared but not panic.
But listen, where are they now?
That's
where are
crazy.
They now with
I
all
don't
that
know.
Fear?
I don't know.
All that fear they put us through, Sasha, all those years after 9/11.
I don't know.
We were all scared. We were all scared of Iraq and Afghanistan. We were all afraid of ISIL. We were all afraid of the attacks on America. Where are all those fears now? We are more afraid of the We're more afraid of the Republican Party right now than we are of ISIL.
Jesus.
The Republican Party now offers more of a threat to our safety.
That's crazy.
And there are a couple Democrats that are there, too. Let's not make no mistakes. The Democrats ain't there, and Reverend Adam Clayton Powell, the congressman from Harlem years ago, once said, one of the dirtiest words in the English language is liberal. I don't trust none of them. None of them mean black people any good. And we have to understand that. And if you don't believe me, go on to YouTube and download a DVD by Professor John Henry Clark, and it's titled, You Ain't Got No Friends.
So let me ask you a question, and I'm asking this genuinely because I've been having a lot of different types of conversations lately, and I'm going to ask this question genuinely. What about black people, like the ideals of certain things on paper, not within a human being, but on paper, there are certain ideals that would benefit the black community as a whole, and there are certain ideals that go against the progression of black people and kind of serve as a crutch, or not even a crutch, like serve as a complete breakdown of the ability for us to move forward. But we believe certain things to be good for us. What about black people that consider themselves to be conservative? Don't follow like the major Republican, don't follow the like that negativity, but have the ideals, of conservatism. Or liberalitarian? I can't even say it. However you say that, because there's things like when I do my research, because I literally, if I want to know something, I'll research it. I don't care if it's for school because I'm not in school, but I like to research. And I'll research things, and I research the different things when it comes to conservative and liberal. And there's a lot of things, and I can even say for black people in general, there's a lot of things that. It seems like we would be like we believe we're liberals, but when you read the description of conservatism, especially black people that are Christian and very religious, it would feel to me like we are more conservative than we are liberal. Even when it comes like the about abortion, I'm not a fan of abortion. I do not have the right to speak oftentimes on certain topics. But for me, I do agree with the concept of I believe that once the baby is conceived, they're a human being. I don't believe, whatever religion you believe in, I'll call it God for the point of the show. But I don't think that God would make a child if the child wasn't supposed to be here for one reason or the other. But then I do understand that there are situations where it is necessary for the child not to be. But I'm torn even saying that. Because it's such a difficult thing, and then when I was reading about different things, when it says like embryonic stem cell research is something that is a liberal thing, and like it's just you're so confused, and it's a difficult thing to think about, because as a humanitarian, also for me, I'm empathetic to people and I feel a certain way about human life and human beings. Like I feel like my dedication is to black people because I have the ability to see things in a different light than some people that have had it a little bit more difficult. So I feel like I can add something of value, but I still feel like as human beings, we need to do better. So there's kind of like when we read about what's going on, I kind of feel like most of us are conservative as opposed to liberal. And that's just my research. But we've been led to believe that we're liberal, and I don't think that we are. So my question is, what? Yeah, go ahead. I don't know if you got my. I don't know if I actually said my question or if I started rambling. But did you get my question?
No, form your question, then I can go on.
Okay, putting aside the conservative person. And putting aside Republican person, when you see that, when you read about being conservative and those different, wouldn't it benefit our people to be conservative as opposed to liberal in a lot of ways, especially when it comes to long-term welfare that I believe is very debilitating for the mind of people because it creates a sense of not being worth anything but the $700 that you get a month. Like I feel like that is is poisonous to us long term. I believe it is an important thing for people to get on their feet with it, but I believe that there's a lot of ideals that we believe are inherently black that are keeping us from progressing. So my question is, putting aside the human conservative, when it comes to the ideals of conservatism, do you feel that it would benefit the black community to understand what it is and how it would benefit us? And I know you started with the answer,
I think one of the most important things we have to do is throw away all the words used by Western civilization. And we have to define what we mean. The root word of conservative is to conserve.
Conserve. Mm-hmm.
The people who call themselves conservative are some of the biggest hypocrites on the planet. They are liars, they are cheaters, and they are thieves. And they tolerate those that do. Liberal are a bunch of the biggest hypocrites on the planet, and they're all the same. I am very conservative.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I am conservative, and I'm going to say this, and I hope we understand. I'm going to speak as a father. I'm going to speak as a man, a human, but most importantly, I'm going to speak as a teacher. I am 100% against abortion.
Mm-hmm.
The moment
that
a child is conceived,
yep,
embryogenesis, the moment that a child is, they are a human being. Abortion kills children, period.
Yes, it does. Yep.
But let me tell you this. The one thing that I am against more than abortion is for anyone, particularly a woman, to bring into the world an unwanted child.
And I agree with that as well.
As a teacher, I have been with countless children that were not wanted. I have seen the outcome of what happens when, in this lustful society, women have physical relationships, and neither man or woman are responsible enough to take on the greatest job that exists, which is to care for a child. I also believe in this society where men, not all, but too many, walk away from a woman once she's pregnant, a woman has a right to decide what she's going to do with her body. It's not up to a man to make that decision. So what I've done is I've fluctuated between what the conservatives say and what the liberals say. That's why we have to throw those words away, because as black folk, we have got to critically analyze, get the paralysis out the analysis, analyze exactly what the situation is, and develop a lifestyle in 21st century. Because in this civilization, when a young girl has a child, the way this civilization is set up, her life is changed forever.
Yeah. It's true. Even if you have health, your life has changed forever. Even if you have a partner that is loving and dedicated, your life has changed forever. Emotionally, physically, mentally, your thoughts go straight to your child. They don't go to you anymore. And I'm saying this personally. Whatever I do, my son is the thought that's at the front of my head. But I guess that goes for both parents as well, because you were like that as well.
But when you're living in a world that is about me, everything's about me, what I want, you know, I used to always tell the story that, you know, before I was married, I was out on my own. My shopping bags said Mad Hatter, Shirt King. OK, okay? After I had, after you were born and after Conde K was born, well, after you were born, Sasha, first of all, even before I was married, you know, now I go around, you know, my shopping bag said Toys R Us, Kids R Us.
Listen, I have a bag. I have a bag of chips. As soon as I opened it, it was like when you open a canned food for a cat. As soon as I opened a bag of chips, he came in here and stole some.
That's it. It's no longer I, me, and mine. It's us, ours, and we. Let me give you another concept of conservatism. How conservative. I hear my Conde K laughing in the background. Let me give you another example of how conservative I am. And you all know this. Conservatives talk about conserving money. They're very concerned about credit. Okay? They're liars. They just gave the biggest tax cut to the richest people. They don't mind spending money. They just want to spend money with rich people.
Yeah, my taxes are looking horrible.
Hey, my motto growing up, my motto with y'all growing up was, if I have the cash, we can get it. I grew up without credit cards. There were many things that some of your friends were able to do. Yes. There were some things that your friends were able to do that we did not do. There were some of your friends went on vacation every year. They came back and told wonderful stories. But right now, their parents are in debt for the rest of their life.
Yep.
And I said that I was not going to be enslaved by the credit card. I'm very conservative when it comes to money.
Credit cards are modern-day sharecropping.
That's what it is. And what has happened over time, they say liberals want to spend a lot of money. No, liberals don't want to spend a lot of money. Liberals and conservatives are the same. It's according to who you want to spend that money with.
Exactly.
So that we have to throw those words away. And we have to define for ourselves what we mean by conservative and liberal. We have to understand the difference between right and left. All those words mean nothing to me because they all belong to the damn dog family.
Dog family.
And don't ever forget that. When you go into that voting booth to vote, you're voting for somebody that's going to do what you tell them to do. And you're going to strategize that. And if you don't do what I want you to do, this is your last term in office. We have to strategize now. We have to be a part of the future. And the future demands that we develop some form of understanding the voting process and not, I don't want to go vote because who am I going to vote for? That's not the point. That's not the question. The point is, every time you don't vote, probably the person you don't want in is going to get in.
That
is everybody looking for love in the wrong places. I ain't looking for your love. I don't care about loving you, and I don't care about you loving me. What I care about is that you pass laws that's in the interest of my people. That's politics in the 21st century. Conde K, how are you?
I'm good.
Hey!
Partiness. Hey, Sam.
Hey, Mary Lady.
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing? I came
you
to a heated discussion.
You should be doing good. How's my brother?
Oh, he's good. He's good. Doing work. You know, I got to put him to work. Make my money for me. You know how that goes. What his is mine and what's mine is mine. There we go. That's it. That's it right there. That's funny. Oh man, but I'm just trying to catch up with y'all talking about.
We talking about the brute wolf and the sly fox.
Woo!
Politics, yeah, economics.
That's a whole discussion in itself. That's a very interesting topic.
One of the finest governments that was ever formed was formed in Haiti after the Haitian Revolution. It was a democratic socialist state. It was democratic politically, and it was socialist economically. It was competition. You see, don't get the impression that socialism isn't capitalism. A stupid word that people made up to fight something else. In Haiti, what they decided was 25% of the income of each individual would go to themselves for their own personal life. 50% would go to business. 25% would go to the government. The government ran the health care program, the insurance program. The 50% of business was not for the corporations. It was for your business. And
that's
the difference. If I had
because
a business.
That's turned all the way around now.
See, if I had a business, like I have a business doing what I do, 50% of my money would be funneled into my educational consultancy of my money. To make my business better, because the better my business was, the better it served the community. So it wasn't like that business money, that 50%, went to an alien business like the corporations that exist. That 50% went back into channeling my business to make it better, because everybody had a job to do. But nobody on public assistance. There were funds to help people who might not be able to work. There were the 25% of your money went into the elder care. It went into the care of mothers who were expecting children and could not work. There was a system in place to assist the community. That's the other 25%. Your health care was taken care of. So that when you're talking about democratic socialism, when you hear some of these politicians talk, if you go to an African model of what a democratic socialist state is, it's a wonderful place to live. The competition is vibrant. The society is functioning. Everybody's working. It has nothing to do with against capitalism. Capitalism is only a word they made up to fight the word socialism. Because the rich wanted to take the money. Russia and America is the same exact thing. There is no difference between them. The way they run their government, just like you have that percentage of rich people. See, that's what's happening now. When you see the relationship that the government of the United States has with the government of Russia, they're the same people.
That's crazy.
We don't see that, though. We don't see that because they've given us
an
illusion.
But we don't know it either. Yeah.
We don't. We don't know the difference between the words we're using as it relates to a political system and an economic system.
But there's a lot of people that don't know that.
But it's because we're taught to not discuss it.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many people that don't feel weird about discussing it. And it goes back to like, oh, let's not talk about politics. Let's not discuss it. So if we don't discuss it, how are we going to learn?
That's the bottom line.
And they taught, like, how this is a society learn? That taught us not to talk about it, you know, and there's so many times that we shy away from it, but it's like what we shy away from is what we should move, like, closer to, because of the fact that we're shying away for it for a reason. So we really need
to
take
research.
Yeah, but part of research
we have to learn
talking about it, talking to other people about it. That's part of the research. You know, that's how you learn. It's not just about book smart. It's about talking to other individuals you know, about it, but they force it down our throats and say, no, 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 let's not talk about it. Don't talk about politics. And then, like, they even, like, if you talk about, like, how the workplace is, and they're like, oh, that's just the politics of it. What does that mean? You know, it's the thought that this is just the quote-unquote politics, but what does that really mean?
And we're only having conversations with each other. You can't only have conversations with people that agree with you. It's like talking to a mirror. You can't. You have to have some of my most amazing thoughts have come from me having conversations with people that I did not agree with. Sometimes it got heated. Sometimes it got a little crazy. But that's the only way for you to formulate new thoughts is to talk to people that you may or may not agree with. And sometimes you might come back to the conversation like, wait, they might be kind of right, or they might say, oh, she may be kind of right. But you can't have a conversation only with people that you agree with, because it really is like talking to yourself. You will not, your mind
will expand.
But
then you also don't learn.
You're not learning.
You're not understanding, like, you know, to fully understand what you don't like, what you do like is to understand what you don't like.
Absolutely.
That's what they taught us in school. They said, try everything out. You never know what you're going to like. But if you don't like it, at least you know what you don't like.
You know what you don't like it for sure. But I think that this goes back to something that Daddy has added when they said, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And then Daddy said, the horse has to first know that it's thirsty. And I thought that was one of the most profound things that I've ever heard. Because even sometimes, like when you have a headache, and like you take medicine or you take a nap and you're like, why is my head so hurting? You don't realize that you needed water or you needed oxygen or that you were hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Like you might have these symptoms. Like we have symptoms of things that we're trying to correct, but we don't know that the reason why our head hurt is because we need water. We think that it's because we stayed up too late. So, like, I think that was one of the most profound. Like, Daddy has said a lot of things, and that is one thing that I really, really appreciate, because I think that's what's going on in the Black community now. Everybody is so thirsty, but they don't know that they're thirsty. Like, they are thirsty.
Mm-hmm.
You would think that if you were thirsty and you went over to get some water, that you'd know that you have to drink it. But you have to know what thirsty is before you can drink
it's so crazy. Yeah, but it's so crazy because it's almost like with children. You know how, like, babies will start crying and they don't know what's wrong with them. They just know, like, there's something that they may be experiencing, like,
oh, my God,
you know,
And then they'll see the attention. I'm sorry to cut you off, but then that just maybe they'll see the attention that they get when they cry. So they keep crying, but they never figure. But nobody can figure out what's wrong with them. That is a great example.
Well, thank you, sister.
That is great because it's so true. Like we're all crying now, and we realize the attention that we get when we cry, but we still haven't fixed. Like they're picking us up, like oh, don't worry, baby, it's okay. But they have, don't know what's wrong. Like I'm gonna give you credit. I'm gonna start talking about that one too. I'm gonna give you credit, like I give Daddy credit. That's a great example.
Well, thank you. You know, being around my niece, she's 3 months, and that just reminded me of it because it's like. You know, she's crying. She knows that there's something wrong, but she doesn't know what's wrong. And it's up to us, you know, to try to figure out what is it. Does she need to be changed? Is she hungry? You know, and it's funny that parents really adapt, and they'll be able to tell a different cry, you know, for, the baby needs to be changed, and they're able to pick up on it. So we have to realize and adapt. We have to realize. You know, and it goes back to what I always talk about where I say, like, a lot of people don't realize the emotion that they're feeling. They may feel like they're feeling anger, but their anger is really sadness. Or their anger
is
really disappointment.
That's what I say about us all the time. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like we have to really be in tune with, you know, our feelings and what makes us happy and what makes us sad. A lot of times we can't even pinpoint what makes us happy. So it's like if you can't realize that, how are you going to be happy, and how are you going to know happiness when it happens? Like, we really have to be in tune with what we're feeling, and the feeling is it goes back to.
Sorry, I keep interrupting you because this is great.
I was gonna say it goes back to that smiley face thing. You know, like, what are you feeling? Like, we go to the doctor's office. What are you feeling? And it has like a happy face, a sad face.
I know, yeah.
Like a unsure face. Like, you know, what are you feeling? What are you really feeling? Because a lot of things can be masked for other things, and if you're not in tune with it, you're not gonna know how you're supposed to feel.
Yeah, but what's sad about it is that, like, sometimes when you're sad, you want to be more sad. Like, you'll listen to songs that make you sadder because the sadness is comforting. Being happy is unsure. Like, if you're...
It's a foreign. Like, it's foreign to you.
Yeah.
You don't understand what happiness is, but without happiness, there is no sadness. Without sadness, there is no happiness. It's just like Batman and Joker in that movie. He's like, I can't exist without you.
And I said, and I was trying to figure out who the Dark Knight was. And I don't know if the Dark Knight is Batman or if it's the Joker. Because in every, you know, I think me and you were talking about this, Daddy. In every one, there's good and evil. And you have to be able to understand how to manage the evil if you want to live a life of goodness. You can't, like Daddy was telling, I think he's told it on the show before, you can't chain the devil to a rock because that doesn't change how you interact with it. Like, you have to be, he has to be free to roam, and you have to know how to deal with it. Because if you don't know how to deal with it, if for some reason he gets away, then your whole life will be turned upside down. You have to learn how to deal with the negativity in you in a comfortable way that you don't harm yourself or harm other people, because we all have good and or the balance of good and evil in us. And if you don't say good and evil, it's just a balance of this feeling and that feeling.
Yeah, that was true. I mean, we totally got off topic, but it all relates.
Yeah, I know. listen, we always do that. So let's play a song. All right. Let's play a song to get back on track. Guys, I'm telling you right now, don't nobody come on this show tonight and tell me you did not like my choice. I chose, I chose this song. I found it, and I think that this is one of the reasons why we were so mad at him, because of stuff like this. I really do believe that for whatever the reason is, we need to really pay attention to what's going on, because this... prior to this current president, this gentleman really had some interesting things to say. And I will leave it at that and play the song, and we will be right back.
My mama was raised in the era when clean water was only served to the fairer skin. Doing clothes, you would have thought I had help, but they wasn't satisfied unless I picked the cotton myself. You see, it's broke, nigga, race them, that's that, don't touch anything in the stove. And it's rich, nigga, race them, that's that, come in, please buy more. What you want, a Bentley, fur coat, a diamond chain? All you blacks want all the same thing. Used to only be niggas, everybody playing. Spending anything on Alexander Wang, new slave. You see his leaders and his followers, but I'd rather be a dick than a swallower. You see his leaders and his followers, but I'd rather be a dick than a swallower. I throw these Maybach keys. I wear my heart on the sleeve. I know if we the new slaves, I see the blood on the leaves. I see the blood on the leaves. I see the blood on the leaves. I know that we the new slaves. I see the blood on the leaves. They throwing hate at me, want me to stay at ease. Fuck you and your corporation. Y'all niggas can't control me. I know that we the new slave. I know that we the new slave. I'm about to wild the fuck out. I'm going Bobby Boucher. I know that pussy ain't free. You niggas pussy ain't me. Y'all throwing contracts at me. You know that niggas can't read. Don't want some Maybach keys. Fuck it, say live feet. I know that we the new slave. Y'all niggas can't fuck with me. Y'all niggas can't fuck with Ye. Y'all niggas can't fuck with Ye. I move my family out the country so you can't see where I stay. So go and grab the reporters so I can smash their recorders. Say they're confused with some bullshit like the New World Order. Meanwhile, the DEA teamed up with the CCA. They try and lock niggas up. They try and make new slaves. See, that's that probably on prison. Get your peace today. They probably all in the Hamptons bragging about what they made. Fuck you and your Hampton house. I fuck your Hampton spouse. Came on a Hampton blouse and in a Hampton mouth. Y'all about to turn shit up. I'm about to tear shit down. I'm about to air shit out. Now what the fuck they gonna say now?
Wow. You see, let me say something about, I've had my opinion on Kanye West. Some people have heard my opinion on him. I really think that it's very difficult to be that aware and then to enter into the world that he was entering into. And then to have, like I said, to have conversations with people that may not have agreed with the things that he was saying, and then to understand the way the world is actually working. I think, you know, it kind of, when I was listening to the song, it made me think of like a vampire when the bloodlust takes over, and like in the stories, when you like can't see anything else but what internally you know that that's what you need to survive. I think that it just, like, he right now, and I think that's why he's so quiet, I don't think he has the control that he would like to have, because he's so in tune with what was going on both sides. And now he's just like, he's losing it. And I think that he's losing it because he's so emotional. And because he was so, like he said, was it George Bush doesn't care about black people on national television? What's that guy? Who was he with? Mm-hmm. Who was he with? Who was it? Austin Powers. What was his name? Michael Myers? I don't think that he like, it's difficult, in my opinion. And Daddy, I don't know how you do it, but it's difficult for me to know so much about so much and not be stark raving mad. Like it's because it's so much easier. It's so much easier to be ignorantly, exactly. It is so much easier to be blissfully ignorant than to understand. Like it's so much easier to just take the blue pill and go back to the living in the matrix than taking the red pill and knowing what the hell is going on. And then, like I had said on my Instagram the other day, you know the Matrix exists, So now how do I know that you are not part of the matrix too, even though you're telling me that you're telling me about what's outside of the matrix? How do I know that this isn't part of the matrix now that I know that the matrix exists in the first place? And I think that that is a battle that people, intellectual people that know what's going on and that want to actually be better and not be a sheep following somebody else, I think that that is such a difficult thing to balance. And I don't think everybody has the ability to balance it. And this song, to me, is evidence of that.
Well, what you said is so important because the idea of balance is ma'at.
Yeah.
And that is why ma'at was the moral code of the Kemetic or the Egyptian society, because it is not easy to live up to that.
Yeah.
And it becomes important to understand truth, righteousness, balance, harmony, reciprocity, you know, right, order and arrangement. It's not easy to do that. That's why that was the standard. And it was a feminine principle.
Mm-hmm.
And so in a society that is so male dominant, how can you have a balanced society when the feminine principle is not regarded and respected by an inferior male dominant trait? It's not that males are inferior. That's not my point. What I am saying is that when the male trait inferiorizes the female trait, you are who is called Yurugu. Yurugu is the incomplete one.
Wow.
It is a male principle that will never know its counterpart.
Wow.
You will search. You will spend your life searching for your male for your female counterpart. And this is not just men. This is also women.
Mm-hmm.
There must be an understanding of the balance of the male and female energy. I'm not talking about gender. You know, as it relates to the book that I'm writing and the research that I've done in terms of the feminine and the male energy, it is what exists in the cosmos. It's all around us.
Mm.
It's what brings us into being. But Yurugu, Y-U-R-U-G-U. There's a book titled Yurugu by Dr. Marimba Anita talks about it. That talks about this,
looked it up.
this society that is male dominant.
It's called Yurugu, an African-centered critique of European cultural thought and behavior.
That's it. And when you critique their thought, when you look at the way they've done things, the way they've developed this framework, where you go to the African tradition, you cannot have a god if you don't have a goddess. You cannot have male if you don't have female. Just like you said, in order to have good, you must have evil. To be happy, you must have sadness.
Yeah.
To be right, you must be wrong. To have up, you have to have down. That's just the way things are. But the balance of things. You see, because at what point does cold become hot? Can you really know that point? At what point does up become down? So that there's a balance, a very healthy balance. In this society that we're living in right now, the Western civilization, there is no balance. And until we get back to the original way of thinking, which is not what I would call African. It's original because there's only one people on the planet, and that's the African. We all come from Africa. And so until we get to that understanding, until we get to that point, and again, I will say it again, that is why this program with you, Sasha, and you, Kondike, on the program is so important. Because I'm going to give you a little tease into the last chapter of my book, Spirituality Before Religion. It's titled, where to go from here? Where do we go from here?
Mm.
And it is to return back to the feminine principle. The entire last chapter is dedicated to the age of Aquarius and the rise of women for the next 2,160 years. There will be a rise.
Country.
You can see it happening right now in every facet of life, whether it's Me Too, Time's Up, Congress, the school systems, you see a rise of women. And leading that rise is the African woman.
Mm.
Now, folk may not like what I'm saying. There might be some people of other cultures or ethnic stock that don't like what I'm saying. There might even be some black men that don't like what I'm saying.
Mm.
But what I am saying is that in order for us to right the wrong, we have to now balance back to the feminine principle. And it's up to your generation. And when the generation of old white men die out, which is over the next 20 to 30 years, I'm telling folk, get yourselves together. Get the paralysis out of your analysis. Bite the bullet and come to grips with a balanced, natural way of looking at the world.
Mm.
Now, to my sisters, to the African woman, there may be a level of appreciation, but in the comedic legacy, you give with your right hand and you take with the left. I am giving to the African woman the future. But with my left hand, I am also saying to the African woman that responsibility in my way of speaking is not a noun. It's a verb. It's a response to your ability. To whom much is given, much is expected. So with this now, coming into the 21st century, the third decade, and you rising into this position of authority and power, you must now not follow the way the man did it. Because the man was wrong, and he destroyed and ruined for the past 500 years, Eurasians have ruined the world. The men did it, and the woman stood by and let it happen.
Yeah.
There were civilizations in Africa when the men didn't act right. At nighttime, the women just killed all the men.
Oh, God.
And took over the community and said the man wasn't doing what they were supposed to do, so we had to take it over. They let all the young boys live. They let all the young boys live, and they taught those boys how to be men. The women.
Mm.
That's where the term Amazon comes from. It comes from Dahomey, West Africa, where
that's
you had
good.
These.
In Black Panther.
In Ethiopia was known as the land of the bow. And when the brothers weren't doing what they were supposed to do, the Kondike queens took over.
There
and for
go.
Their emancipation and liberation, those women remove their breasts in order to get a longer shot with their bow and arrow.
What?
Because their breasts got in the way of pulling back the bow.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to be able to get more accurate, they remove their breasts in order to pull that arrow back far enough to get right through the heart of the invading Roman.
Oh.
That's that sacrifice right there.
Mm. Now, when you do that, now you talking freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Now you talking freedom. When you're willing to do, I ain't talking about taking your bra off and throw it in the middle of the street like they did in the 60s. When you remove your breast so you can pull that bow back to get that arrow in the air through the heart of your enemy, that is
that
what
means
you
you're
call
not playing.
Wanting freedom.
Mm. Mm.
The long line of the Harriet Tubmans and the Sojourner Truths. And the Mary Church Terrells, and the Shirley Chisholms, That was power. That's when you want your freedom. You sitting up here talking to somebody that's liars.
Wasting your breath.
Do what you got to do.
Yep.
Teach the children. Tell them the truth, and they will respect you. I know for a fact the respect I have from a lot of the brothers in all sorts of walks of life come from the fact that I just drop it. I ain't trying to be nice.
Drop it like it's hot.
That is it. Drop it like it's hot. Burn my hands, got to drop it so fast. So what y'all are doing is very important because this program will grow, and your conversation and the importance of understanding that your generation, the millennials, moving forward now, you are going to be assuming the authority and the power. Your voice is needed, and you got to express it.
That's true. It's very true.
Sometimes it sounds like the voice that's most logical is the quietest voice in the room. And it feels like the flock of people that don't have genuine opinions follow the loudest voice, which is usually the one that doesn't have anything to say.
Bruce Lee once said, "I'm concerned about the person in the room that's not talking."
Hmm.
That goes with what you just said.
Hmm. 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 Yeah.
And it also goes back to what you said in terms of when you know something, you know, like when I go on Facebook or when I go on Twitter or wherever I may go and I'm watching what's going on. If you follow what I do, I just stay straight up with information. I don't comment about people. Don't put no bad word out on nobody. And we have got to be able to move forward. I'm looking for 3 out of 100. I don't know who they are. I don't know how many. Maybe more than 3. Maybe less than 3. I don't know. But in answer to your question, the way I do it is that I have a charge. I've been given. To me, I believe I've been given a divine destiny, my job.
I believe it. I believe
it. And I'm
it.
Doing my job. In spite and despite of everything else that's going on around me, I'm laser focused on what it is that we have to do as a people. And I'm living my best life. And I ain't
got
time
to
go back and forth.
There we go.
And, it, you know, that's really such a fun. I tell everybody, that's my anthem now.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how we have to look at this right now, because there's madness on the streets.
Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
With the murdering of people in synagogues and in mosques, the burning down of churches. This is something we have to look at because mosques, and synagogues and churches and temples have always been a sacred place.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
They've been safe havens for people. And now they are becoming the places, and I think that people that are doing this are so weak and so scared. They go to the place where they believe they can get away with it. Because if you bust up in a bar, there's a whole bunch of folk in there that's drunk enough to bust your behind.
Mm.
So where do you go? You go where you think there are no guns. You go where you think the people are the most peaceful to abuse them because a bully always goes after those who cannot defend themselves.
Absolutely.
And this is where we are in this society. Never in my life did I ever think, I'm not talking about those 3 churches that were burned because Europeans, white supremacists, have been blowing up black churches since I was a child and even before that. So I'm not surprised at what they're doing to black folk. But I'm shocked. All around the world, this is what's going on.
Hmm.
And these are young people. Guys, 19 years old.
Mm.
What's going on in your life? And then they got the incels.
That's disturbing. That's such a disturbing topic.
Yeah, and you know, but this is what you're facing. And it just becomes important that your generation begins a dialogue, a conversation around these issues. What is it that's making all of this happen? What you got to do?
Yeah.
I can't figure it out.
Well, it's there.
I
have a feeling. I have a feeling I know what it is. See, because everybody's talking about white supremacy, but nobody's talking about why. Why is it happening? Listen to what they're saying. Jews will not replace us. Blacks will not replace us. Don't let brown Muslims in this country create walls. Don't let the brown people from Central and South America and Mexico come. What is it that they're saying? They're saying that their ethnic stock on the road to extinction. They know they're on the road to extinction.
That's sad.
But it's true. That's what my webinar series is about.
But some of them, I think, don't realize it.
Well, they understand something. They understand that they're being replaced. But they don't
know.
They may know instinctively, but they don't. Science. It's actually happening. Because what they should have done when they came out of the ice mountains 5,000 years ago, what they should have done when they came back to the southern lands was to do what nature does. Black gorilla that's come out albino knows instinctively to only mate with a black gorilla. An albino peacock knows to only mate with a colored peacock.
That's interesting.
Even plants. No, because instinct makes nature act the way to survive. But peoples of Eurasian descent, when they came out the mountains, they came back with xenophobia. They came back with a fear of anything that didn't look like them. So instead of mating with the original human beings, they being recessive, instead of mating with the dominant, they mated with other recessives, which put them more onto the road to extinction.
Mm.
And now in the 21st century, they are dying. There's a book by Metzl. I've been watching interviews with a man by, I think his name is Jonathan Metzl. And he wrote a book, Dying of Whiteness.
Oh.
Which now is another book that goes with The Birth Dearth by Ben Wattenberg and with The Death of the West by Pat Buchanan. Here's another book written by them talking about their own destruction and how they're dying.
Ooh. Wow.
This is science. This is science. By the year 3000, the people we know today as Eurasians will no longer exist on our planet.
Hmm.
It's just the way
it is. Crazy. That's crazy.
They're
they didn't
impotent.
Last that long.
Well, they lasted 5,000 years. But remember, I tell the story about years, many millions of years ago, there was the mammal that we all came from the reptile. The mammal that we all have descended from is called a hadrachonium. The hadrachonium was no bigger than the last digit of your finger, that top part of your pinky. That's how big the hadrachonium was.
Ooh.
And 66 million years ago, the Hadronium shared the world with the dinosaurs. Stegosaurus, Brontosaurus, the ferocious Tyrannosaurus Rex. And this little teeny Hadronium looked up at the Tyrannosaurus Rex that was threatening his existence and said to the Tyrannosaurus Rex, "Yo, one day you ain't gonna exist." And the Tyrannosaurus Rex looked at the little Hadronium and said, "I'm going to eat you up." And the Hadronium said, "You may eat me up, but there'll come a time when you will not be on this planet." A million years after the Hadronium told that to the Tyrannosaurus Rex, an event happened on Earth and wiped the dinosaurs off the face of the Earth. There is something known as the global warming that's going to sneak up on this planet much quicker than people thought. And that's going to wipe the Eurasian ethnic stock off the planet of the Earth. You mark my words. They'll play this interview back thousands of years from now. And they'll say, "How did that brother know that was going to happen?"
Oh,
there's going to come
man.
A time when there'll be no Eurasians on the planet. I'm telling you that now.
I hope I get reincarnated and I can listen to it. I want to know.
Mark my words.
I want to know.
Mark my words,
you
what
be,
I'm saying.
You be knowing. I want to be part of it. I need to be reincarnated so I can listen to, I want to listen to this interview in the year 3044.
You mark my words. There are it's happening as we speak. Read the books that I'm talking about. Read The Birth Dirt by Ben Wattenberg. Read Death of the West by
dirt
Pat Buchanan.
Dirt?
Dirt.
Dirt.
Birth, D-I-R-T-H, D-E-A-R-T-H. Read that book. Read The Death of the West by Pat Buchanan. Ran for president three times.
What happens when people in free countries don't have enough babies?
That's right.
That's what it is?
That's right.
Lord, what is this book made of, gold? They have a used version for $1,981.06.
That's right. Because they don't want you to read that book.
Oh, Lord.
I bought that book when I first heard about it.
I might have to come borrow it. I'll read it in your house.
Well, I've taken notes for my webinar around that book to help us understand why that book is so important for us to understand. And you know something else?
Wow.
The group of people that need to read that book more than black folk is white folk. Your time is up on this planet. You better find, I call it the Robert De Niro effect. See, Robert De Niro and your girl,
Kardashian?
The Kardashians, they know what's going on. Robert De Niro will only mate with black women, and the Kardashians, most of them, will only date with black because they know that their time is up. And the only way that their children will survive in the future is to go back to the original archetype, which is the dominant gene.
They are the albino.
That's
gorilla.
Science. It's not about superior. And if you want to know about the albino gorilla, his name was Snowflake, and he was in Spain.
Snowflake.
He had over 13
Snowflake.
Children. He had over 13 children.
13 million.
And he had over 20-something grandchildren.
He was
and all of them were black because he would only mate with black female gorillas.
There's a movie about him?
There's a documentary. And he died of skin cancer.
Picture. Oh, my goodness.
Do you see it, Sasha?
Yeah, I'm looking at it now.
Okay. So you know I'm not playing games. Like people come back to me and say, "Yo, man, when I heard you say that, man, I said, this brother crazy." But then I went to what you told us to look at, and
yeah,
you're right. People think I'm playing when I talk.
So there's a cartoon about Snowflake the Gorilla.
Okay.
Wow.
There's a cartoon version, Snowflake the White Gorilla. Being different is
That's
a real
it.
Adventure.
Mm.
Okay. Yo, family, I'm not playing with this. I am not playing with this. I'm not playing. But you know what frightens me? Is that even though, and I'm not saying this as superiority or inferiority. Science doesn't talk in terms of superior and inferior. Science talks about dominant and recessive.
Mm.
It deals with the genes. I'm not talking about a superior. I believe Dr. King was right. Dr. King was absolutely correct. It is beyond a shadow of doubt the content of your character that makes you who you are.
Mm.
I have known good people in all cultural groups.
Mm-hmm.
Solid. Good human beings in all groups.
Yep.
I don't know that many of them European Asian, but that's a whole nother story. But I've come upon some African folk I don't want to meet again.
That's the thing. It's about the vibes that you get from people and not necessarily what their background is. Because there's some of us that suck and there's some of them that are decent.
And the bottom line is that if we don't understand science and the science of genetics, I'm concerned because if in fact they are no longer on the planet and if they run things now, what happens when they go? Are we in a position to develop our own economic system, our own
education system? Not at all.
We're not. So that's why I say we have to get busy. Don't excuse yourself from the political system. Learn it so that when all is said and done, you can govern yourself.
That's why I've always said participate, not assimilate.
That's it. That I believe is the bottom line for us all to take away from this. Get the paralysis out of your analysis and begin to develop for yourself and for your children a future plan. I'm looking at 100 years from now. I'm not just doing what I'm doing for right now. I'm looking at 100 years. I'm looking at this program at a time when it's going to be you and Conda K and your children talking. That's what I'm looking at. And all of us have to be doing this for our children and for the those yet to be born.
Mm-hmm.
And take
our ego out of it.
All of that got to go. We have to understand economics. We have to understand how to hire our own. We have to understand business.
Mm-hmm.
We have to understand how we can educate ourselves. We have to understand spirituality. What exactly is spirituality?
Exactly. Exactly. I don't think we get it. But I don't think sometimes it just seems like people are so comfortable that they don't want to get it.
Well, it's up.
I believe
that I was taught how to teach by my most difficult students.
Was it me?
Oh, no, I'm talking about South Central Bronx. There are some difficult students.
No.
And also students that I've taught all levels of special ed.
Mm-hmm.
I've taught what was called BIS, which is bilingual special ed.
Wow.
And I've taught children that by all aspects of their ability to assimilate information were on all different levels. So I'm not just talking about emotional challenges. I'm just talking about children who have not always had the greatest way of learning, and they needed help. What did I do to get the message to them where I could teach them? And the more ways I learned how to teach was the better teacher I became. Mm-hmm. So that when I'm looking at my people, going back to what you said to me, that you don't know how I may be doing this, it is those brothers and sisters that are the most difficult to get to that have taught me how to get to them.
Mm.
And so I don't take it personal. I know that we have been hurt. I know that we've been damaged. I know that they are selling tickets to a comedy show for quite a bit of money. And there are people that are buying those tickets. And some of those same people that are buying those tickets all night are the ones that say, when it's time to come speak or hear a scholar speak, why it costs so much and it costs $20.
Yep. Yep. Mm. Yep.
There are people that will go out and spend hundreds of dollars on a pair of sneakers, and when it comes time to buy my DVD, they say, can you give a brother a break?
Uh-huh. Mm. Oh. Mm.
Okay, I don't get mad. I don't get mad because I know that they're hurt. Mm. And I know that their perception of themselves, they would rather spend money on a comedy show than to spend money to be able to make yourself a more viable human being. That's the way the system set them up to be. Mm-hmm. I don't take it personal. It's not about me. It's about them and their priorities.
Absolutely.
Sometimes we take it too personal. We take it personal. We get upset. And when we take it personal, it then reflects on us that the problem is us. The problem ain't me. Your priority.
Hmm.
And I don't have anything against you spending money to see a comedian, because that event is going to make people millions of dollars. So why shouldn't that comedian get paid money? You should get paid money. The point is, why are you willing to spend money with them and you're not willing to spend money on things that might make you a better person, as opposed to just laughing?
Which makes no sense.
It doesn't, but in their minds it does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you know, I was teaching a class in New Paltz. And
I was.
And I remember in the room that I was teaching. And I was talking to the students about the importance of some of the things that I was expecting them to do. And One of the students said, I said, it's very important to understand what it is that I expect of you, and I expect only the best of you. And I said, if you're willing to work hard in one class, you should be willing to work in another. And a student, and this was a person of African descent.
Mm.
This person said, but this ain't math class. Inferring that,
wow,
you have to do your work in math class, but you don't have to do your work in Introduction to Ancient Africa in my class.
Wow.
And so I asked her a question. I said, let me ask you this. How many credits will it take for you to graduate? With 120. And I said, suppose you're about to graduate and I fail you in my class.
Mm.
Will you graduate?
Mm.
Will you graduate with 117 credits, even though math is more important, you say, than black studies? If you fail my class, will you graduate in May?
Why are they even there if they don't think it's important?
Mm.
Because that's how they do it. You know, the wonderful sister, the chairperson of Black Studies, Sasha, Dr. Margaret Wade Lewis, she once told me when I first started, she said, you must hold the students to the fire because they don't see Black Studies being important.
Hmm.
And so you have to instill in them a dedication to the class as if it were the most important class in their life.
Wow.
I'll tell you another story.
That is crazy.
I had a student. This sister enrolled in my class. She came to me a couple of weeks later and told me that her father had told her to drop my class.
Mm.
Black studies wasn't important. This was not a person of African descent, African English-speaking descent. This was a sister of African descent, but of Spanish-speaking background.
Mm-hmm.
But this sister was, she just enjoyed Introduction to Africa. And she said, my father is paying for my school, so my father doesn't want me to take your class anymore.
That's
she crazy. Said, I have to, she said, but I still want to come. Can I still come to your class and officially drop it? And I said, of course you can.
Wow.
This sister came to every class. She did every assignment. She did everything that I expected, and she did it excellently. I'm
That's
talking
crazy.
About top rate. But here's the story.
That's crazy.
She was about to graduate, and she came to realize that she was 2 credits short to graduate.
Wow.
She came to me and she said, is there anything that I can do to be able to get the credit for the class that I took with you?
Wow.
And I said, speak to the dean and I will work with you. She went to the dean and the dean said that if Professor Kamene writes a letter authenticating that you were in class, every class, and if he can produce the evidence, if he can vouch on your behalf to say that you did every assignment. She didn't even audit my class. She just came. If I would write
That's
a letter
crazy.
On her behalf to say that she met
wow.
every requirement that I expected of my students, she said, I will give you the 3 credits.
Wow.
Young lady came back and told me that story. I wrote the letter.
Wow.
And
wow. That is crazy.
That's a true story.
That's crazy.
Because when it came down to it, although Dad didn't think that class was very important, for that father to have to enroll her in another term, and it wasn't that she failed, it's that somebody miscalculated her credits. And she came up too short. She ended up being 1 over because of me.
Wow.
And she said to me on graduation, she said, you know, words could never explain how I feel about your class and about you for what you do.
Aww.
And she said, I've learned a lesson about the value. Because if I had decided not to come to your class simply because I was not getting credit for it, I would be in trouble right now, and so would my father.
Well, that's a lesson for him, too.
It is a lesson for him. I never asked about him. I didn't care about him. I cared about the fact that this young lady was willing to come to my class, every class, on time, every assignment I gave, every test I gave, she maxed. Everything I asked of her, she did. And for
and
that,
she didn't have to.
I was. She didn't have to. But because, and neither did I. When all was said and done, neither did I. But I wanted to teach her a lesson in the value of things that may not count, but when it all comes down to the end in life, the very thing that you thought didn't count is what's going to get you over the hump. So black studies did mean something.
It did.
But I think that this is how we value things in life. A lot of us think, if I can't get paid, it ain't worth it. or if I can't get something back from it, it ain't worth it. Not realizing it's the experience itself that is priceless.
Mm. 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 Wow. Well, that was a good thing.
Something to think about. Something
yeah.
for your generation to think about.
I'm curious to know how the father felt, because he was able to, his child was able to graduate because, you know, because of you.
Exactly.
Because
and the
of
class
you.
That he made her drop for lack of importance.
And it saves her.
And
because
and
she did what she needed to do.
Her.
Yep. Wow.
And not only did she graduate with 120, she graduated with 121 credits.
Yeah, extra credit. And it probably boosted her grade, too, since she did so well.
Yes, it did, because she got an A.
You know, I think that this really does circle back to the topic of the show, because she was misinformed. The information that she got from her father was not the right information, but she did what she felt in her heart was proper, and she made the decision to do what she needed to do on her own, and it ended
yep.
up being beneficial. So I think that goes to what we were talking about. Both sides, you know, especially during election time, both sides of politics, both of the major parties in politics will try to make you believe what they have to say without actually making you, they want to brainwash you into thinking that what they're saying is correct. And whether one side or the other side you feel is correct, you have to do that research on your own. You have to figure that out on your own and realize that when the time comes and when it comes down to what is important, the decisions that you make will help you to graduate to the next level. So I think that story is the perfect way to tie everything together, because you have to make these
yeah.
decisions on your own. We need to stop listening to what people are saying and listening just what sounds good. It's not even about what sounds good. It's about what will be beneficial to your life. And sometimes what will be beneficial to your life is being good on your own without having someone else dictate what you should be doing in your life. And that's what my research has gotten me, because there's a lot of things that I thought I knew that I actually didn't know. So I think that is the perfect way to tie it all the way back around. And, you know, it ties everything that we've done. That story was actually perfect to tie everything together.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So this was really, I really did enjoy doing this show, because especially with everything that's going on in the world, this is a great show. It's nice to because nothing is like scripted. Sometimes I research and take notes, but most of the time it's just a conversation. Like it's literally like on Saturdays when we're in the car and we're having a conversation. And we learn. I just learned so much, and it's good to be able to get it out in this type of environment. So I can't wait. I can't wait to see what next week is going to be about.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I also learn a great deal from both of you. As the things that you've taught me, you know, I mean, constant, always. And
that's
I
so
also
amazing.
Think
I
that,
love that
it's a blacktastic thing for a father to have this type of conversation with his daughters every Tuesday and invite our community to listen to our conversation.
Absolutely.
Because
mm-hmm.
as you say, this is just like if you all come over to the house, we talk just like this.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
On Saturdays when I've got Caress with us, my grandson,
yes.
Sasha, your son, and we pick you up and we're in the car and we're talking, this is exactly how we talk.
Mm-hmm.
Kondike,
it is.
When you were in college, remember, and I used to call you a lot of times. We would talk on my way up to New Falls, because that was an extended time. And we talk about faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Faith today. Faith is the man that Kondike married on Saturday. Tanya K and I had nicknames. We had nicknames for people.
Mm-hmm.
And Faith was the nickname that we gave to Kimani.
Mm-hmm.
And these were conversations that we had between father and daughter. And this is what makes the African family strong.
Mm-hmm.
And as I congratulated you and Kimani on Saturday when you were married, I brought his family up.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, Kimani's dad, Brother Ray Abdul-Mateen, wished all of you well and had something to say to the two of you. Well, my conversation was to bring Kimani's family up and to bring our family up to talk about the relationship of marriages in the African
mm-hmm.
tradition. And that although you and Kimani got married, our families were married at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So marriages are not just between a man and a woman, a husband and a wife. It is the families that come together to create a stronger nation.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are all the better for it, for having experienced that. And I just congratulate you and Kimani, and I wish you all the very best.
Oh, thank you.
And it is now time for us to go forward and just continue this work that we're doing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And keep on keeping on, because it ain't over till we win.
Beautiful.
I love it. I love it. That was amazing. Well, I have learned a lot today and in my research, and I will continue to learn and share. And we will continue to have these conversations. And this song, Daddy, you and I listened to this song, I think it was it wasn't last Saturday, it was the Saturday before, and it really, you know, it really impacted a lot of the conversations. You know, it really seems like it's really relevant now, even though it's from a while ago. So I'm about to play it. I'm about to play it. You guys enjoy the rest of your evening, everyone. And my family,
yes,
it's so
tough.
Wonderful talking to you as usual. And
yes, good talking with you as well.
Wonderful. And congratulations again, sister.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. So nice to be there. All right, everyone, just listen to this last song, and we will see you in quotations next week.
Hotep family.
Hotep.
No changes. Wake up in the morning and I ask myself, is life worth living? Should I blast myself? I'm proud of being poor and even worse, I'm black. My stomach hurts, so I'm looking for a purse to snatch. Cops give a damn about a Negro. Pull a trigger, kill a nigga, he's a heat, bro. Get it back to the kids who the hell cares. One less hungry mouth on the welfare. First ship them, don't let them deal with brothers. Give them guns, step back, watch them kill each other. It's time to fight back, that's what Huey said. Two shots in the dark, now Huey's dead. I got love for my brother, but we can never go nowhere unless we share with each other. We gotta start making changes. Learn to see me as a brother instead of two distant strangers. And that's how I'm supposed to be. How can the devil take a brother if he's close to me? I let it go back to when we played as kids, but then changed. That's the way it is. Come on, come on.
That's just the way it is. Will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
Damn, yeah.
Oh, come on. That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same.
Disgrace the racist. We under. I wonder what it takes to make this one better place. Let's erase the waste. Take the evil out the people, they'll be acting right. It's both black and white and smoke a crack tonight. And the only time we feel is when we kill each other. It takes guilt to be real time to heal each other. And although it seems evident,
brother in you. You gotta operate the easy way.
I made a G today.
But you made it in a sleazy way. Selling tracks to the kids.
I gotta get paid.
But hey, well, that's the way it is.
Come on. Come on.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh, yeah.
Make a change. It's time for us as a people to start making some changes. Let's change the way we eat, let's change the way we live, and let's change the way we treat each other. You see, the old way wasn't working, so it's on us to do what we gotta do to survive. And still I see no changes. Can a brother get a little peace? It's war on the streets and a war in the Middle East. Instead of war on poverty, they got a war on drugs so the police can bother me. And I ain't never did a crime, I ain't have to do. But now back with the back, giving it back to you. Don't let them jack you up, back you up, crack you up, and pimp back you up. You gotta learn to hold your own. They get jealous when they see you with your mobile phone. But tell the cops they can't touch this. I don't trust this. When they try to rush, I bust this. That's town number two. You say it ain't cool. No fool. And as long as I stay black, I gotta stay strapped. And I never get to lay back, cause I always gotta worry about the payback. Some buck that I roughed up way back, coming back after all these years. Right,
that's the way it is.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh, yeah.
Never change.